Going to be reading from Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.
I just want to pray over Julian as he comes up, that, Lord, that you would just pour your anointing on him, that, Lord, that he would be your mouthpiece and that he would speak the things that are on your heart, O God, and that our ears would hear attentively to what it is that you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm assuming. Firstly, can I say thank you for having me here this evening? It's good to be able to share with you in God's Word and to see you again. And we really appreciate your ongoing prayers for us over in Mulscombe. And this evening, I want to encourage you in prayer. I preached this morning on Luke chapter 11, thinking about prayer. And so it fits really well, quite well. And you'll get some of this morning's message in with this evening's, but our focus this evening is on Matthew chapter 7. I'm assuming that all of us, at least at times, struggle when it comes to prayer. That probably we all feel like we ought to pray more than we do. We know, don't we, that prayer is really important, that it should be the top of our agenda for in whatever we do each and every day. And yet, so often, it gets squeezed out. And at least fervent prayer, engaging prayer with God. And I think there are a number of reasons why we get discouraged. And I thought it would be good to think about some of those. And then to think about how we can be encouraged to pray a bit more than we do. So to begin with, some negatives, really. Why do we find it hard to pray? Particularly considering the encouragement that we're given, particularly by the Lord Jesus, and particularly in the book of John. In the book of John, you've got all those verses that say things like, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And we see that kind of phrase repeated a number of times. And Jesus encouraging us to pray, believe in prayers. And yet, we struggle. And I think that there are a number of reasons, and I'll just fire through some of those reasons. One is, despite all the things that Jesus seems to say about prayer and about seeing prayers answered, very often we don't feel like we do see our prayers answered. Yeah, if I saw every single prayer that I prayed in Jesus' name answered, I would be a different person. My family would be different. The church would be different. Certainly my ministry would be different, and the world would be different. Isn't that true for all of us? If every single prayer that we prayed in Jesus' name was answered, wouldn't we pray a lot more? Isn't that true? And so I think that we hear Jesus' encouragement, but our experience of unanswered prayers discourages us. So that we begin to think, well, you know, it's a bit of a gamble really praying. We don't know if our prayers are in Jesus' name, really. We say in Jesus' name, hoping that it's vaguely in accordance with his will. But thinking at the end of the day, it's a bit of a gamble, really. You know, maybe I've got it right. And if I have, there'll be an answer. And if I haven't, well, you know, I'll just sort of keep trying whenever I can be bothered, really. And so we can get discouraged for that reason. I think another reason why we can be discouraged, particularly in praying corporately. You may have never experienced this, but certainly I have, is boring prayer meetings. You know, prayer meetings where, now maybe you don't know about this, okay, but I've experienced prayer meetings where, do you know what, I just want to get out the place. You know, I'm thinking, how much longer? The last 20 minutes, yeah, there's another 20 minutes. You think, well, the first 20 minutes went reasonably quick when we was having tea and coffee. But the moment we started praying, it all began to go downhill. And we can, if we've had experiences of prayer meetings like that, we can think, you know, encouragement to pray, our hearts sink. Or sometimes you've been in a prayer context and you just get disappointed because, you know, it starts off well, but then someone starts praying for something that's got nothing to do with, you know, the direction that the prayer meeting was going in. It kind of, you feel like, you know, there was something good happening, it just gets lost. I think sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see our prayers answered, because often our prayers are very much centered on us, if we're honest. If you think of all the things that you pray for, how often are you praying about yourself, about your own situations, about the things that you're going to be doing and things that you want? And the focus of our prayers becomes more self-centered than God-centered. And so we can get discouraged because of that. Often we get discouraged because we've taken Jesus' encouragements to ask and misunderstood them. We've imagined that what God is saying and what Jesus is saying is that God is a bit like a slot machine. We put the coin in and out comes the Coke at the bottom. Where we say a prayer and out comes the answer. But we realise fairly quickly that it doesn't really work like that. So God's worse than a slot machine. He's a kind of a broken slot machine that occasionally works. You've got to bang it really hard and half the time you don't get anything. But occasionally something pops out the bottom. You get an answer to prayer. And none of those experiences encourage us, do they, to pray? Now, I know that there's a number of you, you've been in relationship with God a lot longer than me, and you'll know already that prayer isn't really about what we can get from God. And for as long as we think that's what prayer is, then we're going to be discouraged. Prayer is about our relationship with God. Jesus says, ask. On a number of occasions, and he encourages that we will receive the things that we ask for. And we take those verses, but we forget the other verses that tell us the other side of the story. For example, when Jesus is confronted by the Syrophoenician woman, what does he do? He ignores her at first. He puts her off. And often, that is a part of what happens in prayer. God seems to resist us. He seems to ignore us. And in Matthew chapter 7, I think Jesus is alluding to that. He says, ask, you will receive. Seek. In other words, it's not going to just suddenly appear. It's not going to just kind of drop out the sky. Sometimes we wish, don't we, that we could pray, Lord, please give me an answer for this. And a brown envelope pops through the door. Just open it up and there's the answer. Thank you, God. Wouldn't that be good? But it's not, it's seek. And knock, there's effort involved in praying. And we forget that side of it. Jesus' parable about the prayer of the persistent widow is telling us, isn't it, that we've got to keep on praying. So on the one hand, he says, ask, you will receive, but be under no illusions. This isn't a kind of a slot machine, God. Sometimes we think our prayers aren't answered. I'll just read to you what I always find to be an encouragement from Revelation chapter 8. This is what it says, and this is helpful for us to remember. When you feel like giving up praying, when you feel like your prayers aren't getting anywhere, when you feel like it's a bit of a waste of time, maybe just turn to Revelation chapter 8. John writes, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. You know, that's telling us, isn't it? That all of our prayers, they don't get lost. They don't just sort of go off into the ether somewhere and dissipate. That he collects them all up and he answers. Maybe not in ways that we imagine. And I believe that even prayers that we pray amiss, and we often will pray amiss, there's a kernel of godliness and spirituality and righteousness often in our prayers. Maybe it's we're praying for a particular person to be saved, and maybe that person will never be saved. But that desire to see people saved even, God is responding to that all the time. When we're praying for justice and we don't see justice come, that prayer for justice doesn't get lost. All of our prayers that we pray by faith are going to be collected up by God. And it says that he takes those prayers. Let me just read it again. This is how the Lord answers often our prayers. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. In other words, our prayers have a massive impact on the earth. Massive. Who would have imagined that all our little prayers that we were praying could have such an impact? Peals of thunder, earthquakes. Now, that's not to say that whenever there's an earthquake, it's like, oh, there's an answer to my prayers. Wasn't really hoping for that, really. I was praying for peace somewhere, and there's an earthquake or a tsunami. I'm not saying that those things are the answers directly to our prayers. But that's a picture, it's an image of our prayers having a massive impact all over the world. It's difficult to imagine what the world might be like if Christians stopped praying. However bad we think the world might be now, if Christians stop praying, it's hard to imagine how awful, how much more terrible the world would be. And so we shouldn't imagine that our prayers aren't answered. We get discouraged because we think we're wasting our time, but we're not. And we should be encouraged to keep on praying, as Jesus says. Why should we pray? Well, because, as Jesus says, he makes it very clear here in Matthew chapter 7, he who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. In other words, we pray and God does answer. This is why we should pray, because if we don't pray, then God won't be at work. Now, I wouldn't quite take the view of someone like John Wesley, but there is some truth in what he said. He said that God does nothing without our prayers. He does nothing. God doesn't work at all without our prayers. And now, I don't think that's entirely true, and maybe that would be taking John Wesley out of context, but you get the gist of what he's saying. In his experience, when he prayed, God was at work. That's what he's saying, at least that. And so we should pray because God does work. And we'll find that the more we pray, the more he works. Maybe not immediately, but he will. But why is it then that God doesn't answer all of our prayers either immediately or the way in which we want to see him answer them? Well, we've all seen the little child, haven't we, who gets what they want, when they want, whenever they want. You know what that does? We all know what that does. Can you imagine God did exactly what we asked him, every time we asked him, whatever we asked him, whenever we asked him? Firstly, everyone would be a Christian, wouldn't they? We'd all be using God. We would be awful. Well, some of us aren't great anyway, but we'd be even worse. And so, God doesn't want to make us into spiritual brats. The reason why I think, you know, one reason why I think God seems to resist answering our prayers is because we become so kind of frivolous, or we can become frivolous about prayer. And when we don't see, and that's why we give up easily, because we're quite frivolous when it comes to prayer. We're not as bothered about the things that we pray for, perhaps, as we ought to be. You know, God's heart breaks over things. But what we often do is we fill our lives with so much busyness, so much distraction, that it takes our minds off the things that we know are really important. Just think for a moment. Jesus, I'm not going to read all the verses because it would take too long, and most of it you'll know them. The encouragements to pray, and that Jesus says, I will answer. Yeah, you may ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If my words remain in you, ask whatever and I will do it, Jesus says. Just think for a moment. Think about that. Jesus is promising there to answer our prayers. Okay? Now, just for a moment, think. If you could ask Jesus right now to do one thing, the most important thing, what is the most important thing that you would ask of Jesus right now? Think about what that might be. Maybe it's a member of your family that doesn't know the Lord yet. And you've just kind of given up praying about it because he hasn't answered yet. Is that what it is? Or maybe there's something else. I don't know what it might be. But something, you know, name it in your mind. Think about what it is. What is that thing that you really want to see answered? I can think of people in our family that don't know the Lord yet. People that are older than me. One day, I'll probably go to their funeral. And they'll go in a hole in the ground. Then, it will be too late for me to pray for them. Yeah, I'll cry for them then. You know, God wants us to care now. And it's not that we don't care. We just, as I said, we allow ourselves to get distracted. Paul says, doesn't he? Always, you know, be alert. Be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Be alert. In other words, don't let yourself get distracted from the things that are important. Every day, think about them. They matter. You know what those things are. I love the story of Moses. You know, all the great men of God have prayed all the way through history, and Moses is no exception. He climbs up the mountain, doesn't he, to receive the law. And that's when he received the Ten Commandments. Okay, how long does it take to read the Ten Commandments? About 2 minutes, if that. How long was Moses up the top of the mountain? 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights praying and engaging with God. That is a massive privilege that Moses had. Meanwhile, at the foot of the mountain were the Israelites. They weren't even allowed to set one foot on the mountain. Yet we can come right into the presence of God and have an impact. But then Moses is on his way down the mountain, and there, sort of around about the mountain of the Israelites, and you know the story. This fella, he's gone off, he's not coming back. Aaron, make for us a god. And so they fashion themselves a calf, don't they? And as Moses is coming down the mountain, God says to Moses, these people whom you have led out of Egypt are a stiff-necked people. He says, let me alone that I might destroy them. Now just think about what he's saying to Moses. He says to Moses, you Moses, let me alone so that I might destroy them. And Moses realizes what God's saying. And so Moses says, these people that you led out of Egypt, your people, if you kill them, all the nations around will say God wasn't able to deliver his people. Or he delivered them from Egypt to slay them in the desert. But the thing is this, Moses understood what God was saying. that if Moses let God alone, the people would be destroyed. Isn't that an amazing thing? This is the impact that we can have in prayer. We make a difference. And we shouldn't, you know, imagine Moses thought, like so often we might think, oh well, God, if you're going to do what you're going to do, there's nothing really I can do about it. Imagine Moses took that view. A nation wiped out. God would have started again with Moses. But he interceded and he prayed. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. That thing that you was thinking about just a few minutes ago. Think of what Jesus is saying there. Ask, it will be. Don't give up. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. There's encouragement there. But then he says this, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And we know what the answer is to that, don't we? If you've got children and they ask you for a bit of bread, you're not going to give them a snake or a stone, are you? But God knows that sometimes the things that we ask for that we think are going to be good, they will be a snake to us or a stone. You know, the things that we think, Lord, it would be great if you did that. He knows what the outcome would be. And sometimes that's why he doesn't grant the things that we ask. He knows that they're not going to be good for us. Or maybe they would, but maybe they're going to be bad for other people. He knows. We don't. And so even when we don't see prayers answered, that's not a reason for us to be at all discouraged. Not at all. Not in the slightest. But to keep on praying. Ultimately, why does he say, why does he call us to ask? Why does he call us to pray at all? Well, I believe because God is our Father. And this is another reason why he resists our prayers. He wants us to engage. He wants us to get caught up with him often. A great way of thinking of it is like this, really. Just think that before Jesus came into this world, he had been with the Father for all eternity. In an amazing relationship, him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in a relationship together of unbroken love, where they would adore one another, be absolutely in awe of one another, amazed, full of praise and each one completely satisfied by joy and overflowing all the time for all eternity. This just kind of exuberance of joy and peace and adoration. This amazing relationship that Jesus had been in for all eternity. And then he comes out of that relationship into our world. And his disciples, they see, don't they? It says in Luke that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. They often saw Jesus withdrawing from the crowds to go and pray. What was he doing? He was getting with his Father. He was going back to that Father with whom he had had that amazing relationship. Jesus loved to be back in relationship with his Father. But they saw Jesus going to pray, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said this, when you pray, say, Father. And you know what he's doing there is he's kind of like saying, this relationship that I've enjoyed for all eternity, you know, where I call God Father, that I escape from you and get back with him. He's saying to us, you can have that relationship with God. He it's like the Trinity is opened up to us so that we can somehow enter in to that. That's why boring prayer meetings just dishonor God. Boring, dead, faithless prayer meetings. Prayer meetings where we're treating God like a slot machine, when all the while he's wanting to call us into relationship with him. Isn't that an amazing invitation? When you pray, say, Father. You know, the impact of that is lost on us because we take it for granted that we can call God Father. But then they didn't. They understood. It's like, wow. I can call God Father. I can come into this relationship. He's a father who absolutely loves us. I love it at the Transfiguration and at Jesus' baptism, when the heavens are opened and God speaks over Jesus, his son. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And in John chapter 17, Jesus prays that the love that the Father has for him might be in us. And we are in Christ. So when God says of Jesus, this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. He's well chuffed with his son. He thinks his son is absolutely wonderful. We can look at that and think, yeah, we think Jesus was wonderful too. We concur with the Father in his opinion of Jesus. Right? But we are in him. And so when he says of his son Jesus, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. You know, he speaks that over us. He is really, really pleased with you. This is the one whom we come to pray to, the one who absolutely loves us, and he is chuffed with us. He thinks we are wonderful. Now, we have a hard time believing that because we know ourselves, right? How could God think, yeah, God doesn't really think I'm wonderful. He does. He would say the same over you as he does Jesus. He loves you with the love he has for his own son, Jesus. Because we are the children of God. He loves us in that way, not because of what we have done, but because we are in him. He loves us, not because of what we have done, but because we follow Jesus. We have put our trust in him, and God loves that. He loves that about us. And as we pray in faith, in trust, putting our trust in him, God is so pleased with us. And so prayer should be our greatest joy. Let's not be discouraged. I want to close just by giving you some practicalities, or one practical approach to praying, and this is one of the reasons why I chose this particular passage. Because Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock, the door will be opened. Think again about that one thing that you really want to see answered, that one prayer. Maybe there are a few things at this time where you feel that are really important to you. Begin to bring those things to God. The more you come to God, sometimes he changes those things. And that's fine. But start off with those things that are really important. And do what Jesus says. He says, ask, seek, and knock. I want to give you a suggestion, a practical suggestion here. So in the morning, take those things. First, get with your Father, okay? Enjoy him, okay? Find your joy in him. Appreciate his amazing love for you and get into him. But when it comes to intercession, take those important things and ask him, say, Lord, will you, whatever your prayer is, bring it to him. Start tomorrow morning. But then it says, seek and you will find. Very often, God wants to involve us in the answer. And we often pray passively, okay? But pray expecting God to give you some kind of opportunity to be involved in the answer. And so as you go through the day, don't forget you're looking for God to give you an opportunity. It depends on what the prayer is and the kind of opportunities that you might be looking for. Maybe you've been praying for a particular person, but you're not going to be seeing them during the day. But just be looking for the opportunity. Maybe the phone will ring and it's going to be them. So, wow, this could be the opportunity. I've been praying for this. Send a quick prayer up to God. And then it says, ask, seek, so you're looking, don't forget. When the opportunity comes, here's what we do. We think, okay, is this the opportunity? And then we're waiting for some sort of sign, something to make it absolutely clear. And when, you know, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, then we'll take a step and kind of knock and give it a push. But why not take another approach? As soon as you see something that might be an opportunity, don't worry about too much whether it really is or isn't. Just take it. Go for it. Be bold. Be bold, take a step, ask, say a word, do a deed, whatever it might be that you need to do. Ask, seek, and knock. Every day, do that. Begin doing that with the things that are most important. And you can remember that very easily, can't you? Ask, A for ask, S for seek, K for knock. Let that kind of shape your intercession throughout the day. And I do believe that you'll find that you're on an adventure with God. Because that's what he wants. You'll be going through the day in communion with him, looking for that opportunity, taking steps of faith. And who knows where that will lead. Don't be discouraged. None of your prayers go to waste. The Lord answers them all. They have an impact. When he doesn't answer, it's because he's not going to give you a scorpion or a snake. We can be thankful. Don't be discouraged by him not answering our prayers. Don't be discouraged at all. Know that you've got to persevere sometimes, praying about those things that are most important. And ask, seek, and knock. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you taught us to pray, Father, that we come to one who absolutely loves us. And I pray that each of us daily, and I pray it for myself, Lord, as well, completely as well, Lord, that we would know more and more joy in being your children, that daily we would meditate on your love for us, that we would appreciate you and thank you and praise you for the wonder of your love, that we might revel in it, enjoy you, that we might overflow. And I pray that you'll give us faith to know, actually, none of our prayers prayed in faith fall to the ground. Every single one is taken up by you. And we thank you, Lord, that that means there's a whole load of prayers that we've prayed. Thank you that our praying is having an impact. It is having an impact in this world. And Lord, we want to see the direct connection more often. But Lord, we do trust you in this. That we don't waste our time praying. And Lord, I pray you'd help us and deliver us from distraction and trivialities that cover over those things that really are most important to us and you. Help us to pray diligently about those things until you answer or until you change our desires. We ask these things because we want to see you made famous, and we want to know you more in our own lives. Amen. Amen. Thank you.